You already know it's the Creator Spaces show.
You're going to want to do when you're doing targeting for newsletter ads and probably ads in general is focus on tier one countries, which are going to be more developed, they've got higher spending power, just higher traffic and marketing sense is what you're going to get from these countries. Otherwise, if you left it either on one end of the spectrum open and like worldwide, you will get very cheap subscribers, but they're just going to be poor subscribers in the sense that they won't click, they won't open, not very active. You go the other end of the spectrum where you're just targeting like US, Canada, the UK, and Australia, which is what I know is like the big four. You're going to expend a lot more for traffic, probably 4 to 5x what you would normally spend. But the middle ground is just tier one countries. You can Google it and they'll have a whole list. There's probably 20-ish countries, and that's where I would start. And from there, I leave age and gender, all of that. Facebook's pretty good about optimizing on that end. I don't touch that. But the one thing that I do that's interesting is I do mess with the interests. You don't need to be crazy creative, but just think about who are the types of people that you're looking to target and what are the other things that they either consume or places that they hang out that would be relevant. So for me, I run a newsletter that's all about startup ideas. A good target for me is like people who like TechCrunch. Those are like in my sweet spot. So one way to think about it is what are their publications, other magazines, other brands that people like. So when you do it, you're going to get a relative size of that audience. For TechCrunch, it's roughly 15 million. That's a good audience, in my opinion. You usually want it to be more than 1 million and less than 100 million. Let's run with this TechCrunch example. I'm actually not going to add any other interests into my ad set. That's maybe a different way of viewing this, because you can do that. You can keep on adding. So I could say, oh, TechCrunch and entrepreneurship is another like one that I want to run, which is also huge. But you can start stacking interests. I don't like doing that because it muddies up the data. We actually just want to know which interests work so we can double down and spend more on the right interests and not spend money on the ones that don't work. So that's why I call it like single interest targeting. So we're going to leave that just like this. You could also narrow your audience in, which I'll explain later, but this is how we're going to keep it for now.
We've got our audience. It's looking like we can reach about 570 million people with our current targeting.
Yes. Thank you for calling that out. The last thing I'm going to do is I'm actually going to turn off the detailed targeting expansion. And that's going to bring it way down.
Okay.
The 8 million. The total TechCrunch audience it was giving me was 15 million. But once I have just my tier one countries, that's where it basically halves. So if I were to keep this worldwide, it would probably be closer to 15 million.
Awesome. For our listeners, I know how great a cost you've been getting on these ads. But just so everyone knows why I want to take the time to go through this, you're getting, what was it, about 50 cents per subscriber?
Yeah, if I jump over, let me look at my other one. Because like today, I just started a new one, I was getting 40 cents. But yeah, it's usually hovering between 40 and 60 cents a subscriber.
And I know at least from most of the fully monetized newsletters I've seen, those are clocking closer to 50 cents to a dollar per subscriber per month on monetization. Mm-hmm. So this is a profitable funnel with a monetized newsletter, which is why I'm so interested in it. I see we're into placements now.
Yeah. So I leave my placements automatic. I don't mess with manual placements. I think some people could argue against that. Like if you do, you would probably want to take off the audience network and Messenger, but I just don't mess with it. It's just preference. So I leave it automatic. So now we've set up the ad set and I'll just name it like TechCrunch hyphen tier one. And then I give a general audience size, which is 8.8 million. This just helps me know how many people I'm working with. Boom. That's all set up. So I go next. We go into the ads. This is where the creative actually is happening. So I know this can be very visual. And like on Twitter Spaces, you don't have any visuals. But I'll give you some things that have worked and things that haven't worked for me here. And I'll try to do my best to just describe them without the visual aid. So the first thing you need to do is you need to have your Facebook page set up to run ads, right? So you can't actually run ads without a Facebook page. And it can't be your personal. I have to actually set up a dedicated Facebook page to run ads. You don't have to have an Instagram account. You can still run Facebook ads via Instagram and not have an Instagram account.
Awesome.
One hack that I've learned, if you're in the newsletter or consulting, I actually just use my face as the Brainstorms page icon. So not like my logo. The reason I do this is it looks more native.
Yep.
That's one thing I found that actually works really well. It catches people's attention because it looks like a person, not just a company. So boom, got our Facebook page actually set up for this. And then in the ad setup, I usually just create an ad. I don't use an existing post. If you have a post that did like weirdly well and had a ton of traction, you could do this. So like for social proof, if you had a ton of reactions and a ton of comments, that would make a lot of sense. But if you're starting from scratch, just create ad. That's all you're going to do. The next thing you have the choice of is, do you want to do images or video? Both work. I have found that video typically does a lot better. So if you're in like the e-commerce space, video ads are definitely where I would start.
So we're talking newsletters, though.
Yeah, it's images all the way. One piece of feedback that I was given that it didn't work for me, that you'll probably hear if you're trying to get in a newsletter advertising game, is that lead magnets are the way to go. Meaning, don't promote your newsletter directly. Promote like a free ebook that relates to the newsletter, and that'll be a better way to get subscribers. And I have found that it does get you very cheap subscribers. They're literally just there for the free thing, and then they don't keep opening up and reading your newsletter. So my general feedback is, don't use lead magnets, just promote the newsletter directly, or try both and see what works better. But for me, promoting the newsletter had people who were willing to stick around and knew that, oh, I'm going to get stuff weekly.
I love this because it fits in perfectly with another subscription content business I'm working on right now, where we identified, at least within like the standard hooked product framework for a feedback loop, that the content coming to them on a repeated basis was in fact the random variable. And so right. Their choice to subscribe that action is the action we want them to take. It should not be another one.
Exactly. Yep. And that's what I found too, is that this like dissonance where if you're asking them to do a different thing and then hoping that they'll end up doing the thing you actually want them to do, it doesn't always work. So I tried that for a while and it was like abysmal open rates. Like right now that audience is at, I don't know, 5-10% open rate, where my other audiences are still like a 30-40% open rate.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's just a different thought.
See, I was wondering, it takes you an hour to set up an ad set. I was wondering how you had so many going. Now it makes sense.
I usually try to do somewhere between 4-7. So when I'm running a campaign, I'm trying to find 4-7 interesting interests that are worth targeting my like test campaign, right? I've got a number of copies. I'll just call it 4. So I'm going to have 5 total. And then what it'll do is it duplicates the ad with it. So it's super nice. So I don't need to set up my ad every single time unless I want to add another ad, which you should have done before you duplicate.
So we would have created a dozen different ad types at that point, but where it seems like your secret sauce is not in the ad itself, but really in the combination of targeting and using a simple enough targeting testing system throughout them that even as an individual, you can deploy these ads.
Exactly. So then all I would do is go into every single one of these and I would just change my interest. So TechCrunch is one of them. So
boom,
pretty small. I might not use that one, but it would be something like that, right? Or you could also do, if you have a bunch of ones that aren't big enough, you just combine them, right? That sort of goes against my advice of you want to be able to hone in. But if you're looking for more interests and you want to like just expand your pool, you can stack interests. So Product Hunt, YC.
You could probably put like TechStars, Product Hunt, and YC all in together and you'd be getting the same audience.
Exactly. The other trick here, so actually this is what I should have done. If you, if I go to do TechCrunch again, then I can go to suggestions and it's going to give me all of the similar. So like TechRadar, awesome. Digital Trends, that's actually what I probably should have done. And then you can just pick through these. So let's say I wanted to do Digital Trends, it's 29, and I'll do that, and then I'll take this one off.
Why did you choose Reddit? How did you get started? And just walk me through the Reddit marketing process, especially when it comes to newsletters and your newsletter.
For sure. Okay, no might have not been the perfect answer. I used Reddit as a consumer, but not as the creator. So I was never posting. I don't even know if I had an account, because you don't have to have an account on Reddit to peruse. But I would use Reddit quite a bit from just, oh, there's like memes and funny shit on there. Like, it's fun. But I didn't have any karma built up. So this is another, like, contrary to popular belief, like, when you read Reddit guides, a lot of people are like, you need to engage, and you need to have karma built up, and you need to not look like you're just there for a quick win. I don't actually think that matters. Like, literally had no karma on my account when I started posting. Take that with a grain of salt if you're, you know, wanting to engage. You can do that, too.
And you started posting around this newsletter?
Exactly. So I'm on my profile now, and now I have 6.6K karma, but literally starting out, I truly had zero. I don't even have a good name. My name is Papa Patty 11, so it's totally a punk name. It's not branded in any way, shape, or form. So first thing is first. When you're posting on Reddit, it can be like a bloodbath in terms of like PR, because people hate advertising on Reddit. It's like the most anti-advertising platform. And people in there can be dicks because it's all anonymous. So they will rip you apart in the comment section, and it will happen. It's just part of using the platform. So I always say that going into this, you got to have a little bit of thick skin. The second thing, though, to avoid that happening, you need to structure your posts that are like truly 99% value, 1% ask. I'll pull up one of mine here. This is my 1% ask. I just say, hey, everyone, I post regularly about business ideas and opportunities. I made a previous post like this, and you all seem to like it. You can check out more ideas like this here. That's like right there. My here is linked to
one word, one link.
Yep, that's it. And then everything else is value add. So then I've got probably 2,000 words of just here's a valuable idea.
You're breaking down everything you'd need to think about from like a SWOT perspective.
Exactly. And that's really it. That's my like 1%, 99% rule. That's step one. The second thing that you need to think about is what subreddit are you posting to? Okay, I'm going to click on R Entrepreneur because that's one of my best performing subreddits. A, it's really big. So they have almost 1 million members. And then you can see how many members are active at any given point in time. I wouldn't get too caught up in that, but you want to at least see 50 plus for it to really be worth posting there. So use it as a general rule of thumb. And then when you scroll down within a subreddit, you're going to see the rules. So it is important to look at the rules before you post, but there are caveats to this. So in this one, it says no self-promotion. So almost every single subreddit you find will have a little drop-down that says no self-promotion. And basically, the gist of them are going to be like, hey, you can't post links that you're affiliated with. I do that all the time, so why does it work? You just got to, it's a gamble. Sometimes they care, sometimes they don't. When I say they, the moderators. So the people who are going to potentially pull it are going to be the mods. And even if they say no self-promotion, I still try. Worst case scenario, there's you can't do that, and they don't let it go through. No big deal. But in a lot of cases, they don't care. So long as you, again, follow the 99% rule, you're good. They aren't going to pull it. If you want to check out other people's posts before posting your own, you can do that and see if they're doing any self-promotion. That's usually a good indicator of if you can get away with it or not. So that's the second thing. Look for subreddits that other people are posting in that have a small self-promotion, because you can probably get away with it too if you're not being too spammy about it. To break that down, 99% rule, look for communities that have decent member size, so 10,000 plus, but more importantly, how many people are active at any given point in time. And what I would also do is just make a list of like 10 to 15 subreddits that you think are relevant to your industry or whatever you're trying to talk about. That's what I would do.
It looks like you've been a little less active on Reddit in the past month. Have you had sort of those ups and downs with your Reddit activity? And have you seen more posting or less posting to cause higher levels of engagement, especially within the same subreddits?
Definitely. So there's two things. Partially, I've been lazy, but then you do have this finite audience within Reddit in the sense that you will tap it out relatively quickly. So I've been posting like weekly, sometimes two times a week, for a few months now in the same subreddits. So I'm hitting my cap. When I first started, I kid you not, one Reddit post that would blow up, I'll show you my best one. This one post got me probably 200 plus subscribers. And this one was like a guide, right? It wasn't even my main one. It was like a best
practices. It's just how to get your first 10 customers.
Exactly. So one good Reddit post can get you a shit ton of traffic and signups. I did this with a paid newsletter, and one post got me like 7 paid subscribers. So it can work for free and paid. Like, I've seen it work on both ways. The last tool that I'll talk about on the Reddit side of things is called Delay for Reddit. So this is a tool that tells you when the best time to post on Reddit is on a specific subreddit. Basically, what it'll do is, oops, you can type in, so I'll go R Entrepreneurship, and it'll analyze, and it'll be like, oh, so say best time to post is like 7 MST, and maybe down here is actually Wednesday at 10. So I use this for any of the subreddits that I'm going to actually post into, because you're just trying to maximize your time. But yes, Delay for Reddit is the tool, though. If you want to check it out, you can type in any subreddit. It's free.
We've identified where we're posting, when we're posting, and how often we should be posting, as well as whether or not you need a new profile. What else do we need to know about Reddit?
So the last two things I'll say that are just why I think Reddit is a very good growth platform, maybe the last few things. One, you can get super specific with the subreddits. So there are very few places on the internet that have these highly niched down communities that contain truly your exact target audience. So if you can make it work, definitely do it, because and it's good traffic too. Like the people that subscribe from Reddit, those are the ones who actually purchase things from me when I have like boot camp sales and things like that, which we don't need to get into, but it's high quality traffic. The other two things, when you post, you get followers. So I'll go to my profile. So I've got 331 followers, whatever. It doesn't actually mean anything, except for when I post, these 331 people get notified that I've posted. And these are like my Reddit fans, and they're going to help boost engagement early on, which is probably the most important thing when posting on Reddit. So if you can just get 10 upvotes or like 3 or 4 comments within the first, call it like 20 minutes, you're going to be very well positioned to get onto the front page of that subreddit for the day. The reason being is that obviously it behooves Reddit to promote content that's getting engaged with. So what happens then, I don't know if you're ever on the actual Reddit app, but they do something interesting that when you frequent a subreddit and when you click on the app, you will get a little notification when something's trending, and it only takes 10 upvotes to be trending on Reddit. And then you actually get like a notification sent out to a bunch of people who otherwise wouldn't see it. And then that just helps boost traction even more. So
awesome.
It's a snowball effect.
So you can do that with your followers, but presumably you could have 10 friends on Reddit help you with the same thing.
Oh, exactly.